But I don't want my children to suffer these things. This was the thought that stayed with me as I shared with you a little of Glennon Doyle Melton's story last week. As I mentioned last Sunday, Ms. Melton is a 40-year-old, immensely popular mommy blogger who's written her second book. Her blog and her first book, Carry On Warrior, touched the hearts of so many because Doyle Melton speaks the truth about the brokenness in her life and faith. Her new book, Love Warrior, goes even further. You may remember last week I mentioned she met her husband, Craig, during a drunken bar crawl in downtown Washington. She made the heart-rending decision to abort her first pregnancy. She and Craig were married in their backyard when she became pregnant for the second time at the age of 25. They've endured many hardships and challenges in their relationship, communication and physical intimacy, addiction and infidelity are but a few. They were separated for a time and then reconciled. They are now separated again. They've worked hard to make their marriage work through anger, grief, self-reflection, betrayal, therapy, and grace. I stand by my words last week. God's passion to seek and save the lost, even to the point of leaving the righteous behind. God's desire to welcome sinners and eat with them. God's immense joy when even one sinner returns home demands that we look at our lives and the lives of those like Ms. Melton differently than good church folk often do. Judgment, shame, shunning are not God's ways, and they should not be ours. Ms. Melton has been an inspiration to so many because she didn't judge. She's found assurance and hope for her future and given hope and assurance to so many others by speaking the truth, sharing her brokenness with humility and grace. This is good news. This is wonderful news. There is hope for healing when we are sick. There is hope for redemption when we are broken. There is hope for mercy when we stumble. There is hope for forgiveness when we sin. There is hope for new life when we have died to the old. Beloved, this is good news. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ms. Melton is living it and sharing it. But there's still that voice within me, and I expect within you. We don't want our children to suffer such things. We want to give them the wisdom to make good, healthy, life-giving choices. Much of Ms. Melton's heartache could have been avoided if she had simply not gone to that drunken bar crawl. This voice that wants the best for our children is not a voice of judgment. This voice is as godly and true as the voice of mercy or forgiveness. The Bible is filled with wisdom literature advising us to teach our children well, to make choices for our lives which lead to life. Even Christ, while he befriended sinners and would not judge, challenged them to go and sin no more. My friends, we're not being judgmental when we strive to live godly lives and encourage others to do the same. To not want our children, or anyone else for that matter, to suffer from sinful behavior is a godly desire. God does not want to see her children suffer from our sin. But the truth is, try as we might, we will sin and we will suffer. We will be called upon to hold ourselves and others accountable for our behavior and theirs. And we will fall short. We will encounter those who are sick and those who have stumbled. we will be called upon to show mercy and offer forgiveness to ourselves and to others. The question is, will we respond in judgment or with grace? Will we tighten the reins or will we open our arms? Will we harden our hearts or will we remember we too have received grace beyond measure? Will we stand in judgment or will we share our lives? Yes, bless you. Will we claim the truth of our broken lives with humility and grace? Will we be a friend to sinners as one who sins? Our reading from Luke is perhaps one of the most scandalous parables in the teachings of Jesus. What was Jesus thinking? Be like this guy who stuck it to his boss. Forget that little thing God told Moses about stealing. Thou shalt not. No, do whatever it takes to secure your place in heaven. Now, the first thing we preachers like to do when the lectionary gives us a troublesome passage is question its authenticity. Jesus could never have said this, so let's preach something else. The problem is, even the folks at the Jesus seminar think Jesus probably told this parable, and half the time they're not even certain there was a Jesus. Well, if Jesus told this parable, and it looks like he did, what was he thinking? What was his point? We get a clue to what Jesus was thinking if we look a little closer at verses 4 and 9. In verse 4, having heard he was about to be fired with no place to go, the manager says, I've decided what to do, so that when I'm dismissed, people may welcome me into their homes. He will do whatever it takes, even steal from his master, to have a place to go when he's fired. Jesus echoes his words in verse 9 when he tells his disciples, do whatever it takes to prepare yourself a heavenly home. Make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into eternal homes. And forget for a moment the scandal of this parable. I don't think Jesus is really recommending fraud. I think his charge to do whatever it takes to use dishonest wealth is a little hyperbole to help him make his point. And his point is this. Do whatever it takes to make friends with those who have eternal homes so they may welcome you, so you have a place to go. Here's where it gets interesting. Who are those who have eternal homes? Whose place in heaven is already secure? Who are we to be making friends with? The Pharisees believed it was them. They were the keepers of God's law. Confronted by unrighteousness and sin, they pulled the reins tighter and tighter. They separated themselves from those they believed were unclean and impure. They believed their place at the table, at the messianic banquet, was secure. Jesus didn't share their convictions. Remember a couple weeks ago when he was at a wedding banquet? We heard Jesus tell his disciples not to be like the Pharisees, who claimed the best seats for themselves. Instead, they should approach the table with humility and wait to be invited to the places of honor. So if it's not the Pharisees, who are those who have eternal homes? Whose place in heaven is already secure? Who are we to be making friends with? Well, according to Jesus, the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, the hungry, the naked, the sick, those in prison, women and Gentiles, all of those shamed and shunned by the Pharisees because they were thought to be unclean and impure. Remember the parable Jesus told about the messianic banquet. Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. When they all made excuses, he said to his servant, "Go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." According to Jesus, these are the ones whose place in heaven is already secure. These are the ones with eternal homes whom we are to befriend, that we too might have a place to go. Like the shrewd manager, we are to do whatever it takes. We are to make friends with them by whatever means possible, even dishonest wealth. We are to do whatever it takes to prepare our heavenly home. Friend, as scandalous as this parable is at first, it all makes sense when we consider the life and ministry of Jesus. The Pharisees called him a glutton and a drunkard. But what was he doing? He was eating and drinking with sinners, which in those days made them lifelong friends. And isn't that salvation in its purest form? To be friends again with God. Beloved, this is how we are to prepare our heavenly home. Friends, we've had a great year. And last week was an even greater week. We had over 300 in worship for Rally Day. About half stayed for our picnic and mission fair. 3 nights later, we had about 180 here for our Creating Our Future celebration. The energy and engagement both days were amazing. The broad base of leadership and support that gave us these opportunities was extraordinary. I hope you were here to see table after table, young and old, genuinely engaged in conversation about our congregation's ministry and future. Being led not by pastors or staff, but by deeply committed elders. What I think this reveals is more and more of us are recognizing Christ's claim upon our lives. Many of us, like Ms. Melton, are recognizing God is glorified in our weakness, our brokenness, even our sin. Where we may have been hesitant to lead or speak or pray or share or even participate, we do so now with assurance. Yes, we probably all still have a little Pharisee in us. It's part of our heritage as Presbyterians. But God is redeeming us there as well. Beloved, God is doing wonderful work here and has been for 60 years. Our charter members and our 50-year-plus members bear witness to this. As we look to our future, we see it's our time to follow their lead. Share the good news that Jesus Christ is still doing whatever it takes to make friends of sinners and prepare our heavenly home. Thanks be to God.